Our Old Testament reading today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, reading chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Let's hear God's word. But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our gospel reading today is taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. This is a pretty familiar story. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Here's the problem, and Mike nailed it. We've all heard this. We've heard this so many times, it's hard to preach. But I think the hardest part is when you know it says something so much deeper than most people have heard. Sounds like a nice story about a bunch of guys going to work one night and God came down and said, "Hey, that's great, come on, let's go see this baby." But there's so much more going on in this text. You see, this is a world where people like to seek signs. Now, I had a friend, he was not a Christian. And whenever we'd talk about God, he'd always go back to that same thing. Well, if God is real, I'll believe with him if he shows me a sign. Anybody ever run into someone like that? If they show me a sign, I'll believe. Now, not letting it go, I said, "Well, what sign might that be?" And it was usually something like the clouds will open up and rainbows and ducks will fly out from the sky or some strange thing like that. Or even just, "He'll show up in my room." I thought to myself, Well, first of all, if the God of the Bible shows up in your room, according to Scripture, you're dead. Because the glory of the Lord, we don't stand a chance. But that's what he insisted. And people look for signs all the time. People look for signs in politics. They look for signs. Who is this next great person? And people do it in their own lives, don't they? If they didn't, why do we have astrology charts? People want to know the truth. And they want to know the future. Nothing's changed. People in the ancient world were looking for a sign of deliverance. No more so than Israel. They were looking for a sign by God that he would come and finally wipe out all these Gentiles who've been oppressing us for centuries. And their sign they were looking for was a Messiah, a king that would come in the temple, and all the Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin and chief priests would all be there for his birth. And then he would go forth and he would reign in the glory, and he would out Caesar Caesar. And with the sword he would destroy them, and the signs they'd get would be like the plagues of Egypt. Great and masterful signs that would wipe out the bad guys. Well, this story is an amazing story because everyone thought like that. And then there were these guys. Now, we think about these guys, kind of nice guys walking down the street, got a little sheep. You might have to wait your car, you know, while they're walking by. But you have to understand something about shepherds, especially in the ancient world. These were not high-class individuals. How you became a shepherd in the ancient world is you all had a lot of land. And out of that lot of land, in various sizes based on your experience, you were to live off that. And you had to pay your tithe to the temple. And then you had to pay 50% tax to the Romans, just so they'll keep you safe. Safe from who? The Romans. So when you didn't have enough to feed your family, you had to go get a job. So what jobs were available? Where you would go to somebody who had a bigger farm and say, I'll watch your sheep. So just like today, you were the low man on the totem pole. The low woman in the pecking order. You were the person that just felt lucky to have a job. You know those types? And what was your job like? You would walk out into fields night after night, and it was dangerous. There were brigands. There were people who stole sheep. There were wild animals. So you got together, and you tried to stay together, and then you would work the night shift before putting them back in. Has anybody ever worked the night shift? Put up your hands if you've ever done a graveyard. You know what I'm talking about. I was in jail as a guard. And about 3 or 4 in the morning, that time would come where you would just be like, you felt like you were dizzy, like you almost were ethereal. Do you know what I'm talking about? This is their world. And now they got to go home and work their land. And by the way, they can't go worship with the rest of the Jews because they're dirty, because they might have touched dead animals, making them impossible to come into the temple. This is the last people on earth that anyone's expecting God to do anything with. God doesn't come to shepherds. He comes to kings. Remember that as you hear this story. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields. They're living there. They're staying there. They're camped out, keeping watch over their flock by night. It's the middle of the night. And I can imagine you go to work that night. I've often thought about this story. And you're working with your buddies. You're probably telling jokes, maybe playing some crib to stay awake. Oh, I don't know if they had crib. Pot of coffee on. I know they didn't have that. And then all of a sudden, and you know you're unclean, you know you're an outcast, You know you're a nobody. If you don't know much, but you know I'm not the guy God talks to. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them. Would you be a little freaked out? If you thought you were unclean and the angel of the Lord, I'd be thinking, I'm a dead man. Some sort of judgment is coming. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. This Shekinah glory only happened in one place before, in the temple. When God would pour his presence on the temple, that's what everyone expected. But God's changed his tactic. Now his glory is going to fall on a field in their workplace. Something big's going on. And they were terrified. I love that word. They fell down as if they were dead. Can you imagine? This is your worst moment. This is God. And I'll tell you what, whatever fears they had before this, losing their sheep to cattle rustlers or sheep rustlers or whatever, or animals, I guarantee that fear is gone. Because now they got something to be really afraid of. All of a sudden, they're facing the truth that there's a God and he's good and he's holy. And the glory of the Lord, and then they were terrified. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Which I always think is funny because, yeah, easy for you to say. Do not be afraid, for behold, I am bringing you good news. Euangelos, evangelism, good news of great joy. For all the people. I'm bringing you. Who's the you? Is it the super spiritual elder? It's the guy who doesn't think he's good enough to show up to church. And he's the one he's bringing the good news to. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Everybody was longing for that, but they thought a Savior for Israel. Who is the Messiah, which means King, the Lord. We know that will be Yahweh, God present. They just saw that as another leader. Now listen to this. This is the important point. Up till now, we've had a few signs in Luke. One sign was there's going to be a baby born to a really old lady, right? The second sign to Mary was the child who would be born without having sexual intercourse because God would overwhelm her, create within her. But this is a sign. And it's a sign because this was not expected. There'll be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Quick point of order here. This is not your little cute bunch of kids coming up with their robes put on, you know, with a little hat and a nice little clean little manger and a little, you know, baby doll. This is a place where the animals pooped. This is a place of incomplete grossness. This is not where you see kings come, is it? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Now, can you imagine this? You've got one angel telling you this, and all of a sudden the whole sky breaks open. What a day to go to work. And suddenly there was with the angel a whole angel multitude of the heavenly host. I can only imagine the size of this thing. All for these nobodies. We're going to have a Christmas concert. Wow. Praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those who he favors. Well, who's he favoring here? You ever thought about what he says? It's not the greatest, is it? It's the nobodies. And the greatest shall be the least, and the least shall be the greatest. Luke doesn't change. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, I just can't imagine, what do you say to your pal then? Right? What just happened? So they say the most obvious thing. Now they have a choice. They've heard the truth. Now they have the choice. Are they going to go or not? Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has been made known to us. So they leave and go see. They've heard that this is a sign, but they haven't seen it. They have to go see it. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a cow shed. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? I mean, they're confused. We all think they have the whole story. They don't have the gospel stories. All they know is Mary's sitting there thinking, I'm not even married. I could get killed. Joseph's like, some angel told me to stick with this. Right? And they got a baby. And if you've just had a baby, you're not all there. I know. I've been there 3 times. I stood there for those 28 hours on that cement floor. I'm just getting glared at now. Because it was hard on me. She still loves me. But they just had that experience. And remember, this isn't some magical birth where the baby comes out and everybody's like, oh, that's nice. It's a birth. And if you've been to one of those, it's a scene. You know something's gone on. And here they are with this child, and they're freshly born and retired. He doesn't know what he's doing. Probably had to give birth to the child. Think about that, the dad. Think about this story. And a bunch of these guys who you probably never met just show up and say, hey, we're the guests. It's a boy. And these aren't the kind of guests you want. Bring those guys with the gold. At what the shepherds told them, they said they'd been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. Amazed that this could be it, because this is can't be it. This isn't how kings are born. This isn't how goodness and greatness, this is not how signs work. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. She doesn't get it. But she gets something incredible's going on. Now remember those shepherds? They returned. They went back to work. Because their world really hadn't changed, had it? They still have to go back to work, but there's one thing different. They went to work that day, nobodies. And they came back knowing they were somebody. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that had been heard and seen as it had been told to them. They become the first evangelists of Jesus Christ. The ones who shouldn't have been there. What does that say to us? When someone says to us, oh, I'll believe in God when he shows me a sign. My assumption is they'll never meet God. Because they're looking for a God way out there, some big. But this is a God who says, I'm already shown my sign. You just don't want to look that way. There's the seeking of signs for kings. And there's the place where you think you're going to find them. And this is not new. What Luke is doing here completely makes sense in the ancient world. You see, because what those angels said to those shepherds was a very similar language to what the priests used to say to the Caesars. And when the priests would come in at a birth and everybody would come in, listen to the words that we have of the birth of Augustus. Whereas the providence which divinely ordered our lives created with zeal and munificence the most perfect good for our lives by producing Augustus. Does that sound familiar? The language is almost identical. And filling him with virtue for the benefaction of mankind, sending us therefore a Savior. You see that? Who will put an end to war and establish all things. They were told Jesus would bring peace. And whereas Caesar Augustus, when he appeared, exceeded the hopes of all who had anticipated good tidings, good news. And whereas the birthday of the God marked for the world the beginning of good tidings through his coming. Sounds a lot like the angels, doesn't it? They also announced this great king that's coming with these great signs. And they had a celebration. And every great king of the empire came. And every significant person came for this announcement. But what kind of king did they get? Was Augustus a man who brought peace? No. He brought the sword. Did he bring good news? Well, he was good news if you were rich and powerful, but not if you were a shepherd. Did he bring a type of kingdom? Yes, that they were seeking. Yes. But ultimately, was it really good news to the world? No. He brought good news to the powerful. And in light of that, think about what's happened here with Jesus. What is Jesus all about, folks? He's a king that shows up for the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time and says, guess what? You guys get to be part of this. That's good news. You see, because the ultimate sign happened on that day. The ultimate sign was this, that our God is the God of shepherds. Our God is the God of young ladies who are marginalized. Our God is the God who will bring his good news, whether the greats think it should happen that way or not. And our God's throne is in a manger. Well, we too always seek other signs, said our former Pope. Other wonders, we do not realize that he is the real sign, God made flesh. He is the greatest miracle of the universe. All the love of God hidden in a human heart and in a human face. That's the sign today. And the question is, will you come? Because I can announce it, but will you take the walk to that manger and see what it means? That's the challenge to you this Christmas. Will you come? Well, I suppose it depends who you are. Who sees the sign? Did the priests see the sign? Did the rich and powerful? Did the kings? Where were all those guys? Where was Herod? Where was Pilate? Do they see the sign? John Piper said this, the only people whose soul can truly magnify the Lord are people who acknowledge their lowly estate, are overwhelmed by the condescension and the magnificent God. The person who will go seek it is the one who knows he needs it, that there's nothing else. The one who will come to this God cannot be one who thinks they've arrived or are spiritual enough. The one who comes, comes like a shepherd, shocked that they're invited. That's the one that will walk away celebrating. You see, the truth is, folks, Without this, the shepherds had no hope. They were stuck in a social jail. No hope for a future, no hope for salvation. The hope was only for the few, the spiritual, the strong. They were in jail. And we all are ourselves, whether you like it or not, unless Jesus Christ did come. Because none of us are good enough to escape this world on our own. The great Dietrich Bonhoeffer, thrown in jail by the National Socialists, wrote in his letters to prison, "A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent." Advent is waiting to be set free with the knowledge that we have the God who sets people like us free. Amen? Well, that was a Presbyterian amen. But this should give us incredible joy. This should make us so stoked, because this season reminds us that, guess what? You're His. You're the ones He's come for. You and me, the lowly, are the ones He says, come on, let's have a Christmas concert. Let's celebrate. Because this God is different. Charles Spurgeon, "Jesus Christ was possessed of more true greatness in a stable than any other king ever possessed in a palace." Amen. "And He welcomed everyone, and the only ones who don't come in are those who think they're too good and seek a God that looks like them." Well, this God doesn't look like us. He's better than us. And He's better in us because He reaches out to the lowly of us. So what does this say? God's going to come or He's going to come. If you think you have to be at church for Him to show up, you're wrong. He does show up in church. I've been thankful for that. But that's not the only place. You might be at work and He's going to show up. And He's going to show up to people that perhaps you don't think He should. And He doesn't care what you think. He really doesn't. And He's going to tell this announcement to those people who are most shocked to hear it. And those with ears to hear and eyes to see will celebrate. Tolstoy said, "Don't seek God in temples. He is close to you. He is within you. Only you should surrender to Him, and you will rise above happiness and unhappiness. You will embrace joy. Because no matter what your circumstances, you have a God who was born in a manger, who carried His cross, who died for your sins, who rose again for people like you and me, nobodies. And He promises us an eternity with Him. That's the baby we go look at this Christmas in that manger." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to imagine because we so quickly make You into a tyrant or a celestial bully or somebody who's just angry. To see the truth that You are the gracious God who comes down, who humbles Himself, becomes like a servant. Lord, may we worship You now. May that truth come alive within us, and may we sing with joy that we have been welcomed in. We thank You for the sign of Yourself in a manger. surrounded by those misfits. We thank you that because of this, we know that we can surround your throne and sing passionately with your angels, worship of you. Amen.